I appreciate Brother Denton reading the passages for us, taken from 1 Samuel. When the children of Israel asked Samuel to make a king to rule over them, this was displeasing to Samuel. He was their leader. He was their judge. He was a prophet of God. But God told him, he first prayed to God about it. He asked God about this. God answered him and told him to heed the voice of the people. Go ahead, appoint them a king, because they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, their God, as king over them. So this was a rejection of God more than a rejection of Samuel, although Samuel was old, and they said, you know, your sons don't follow in the right ways. Make us a king to rule over us. And then over in chapter 12, as Denton read for us, Samuel presents Saul to the people as the king. In verse 19, the people, I think, then finally realized, based on what Samuel told them, that they had sinned in asking for a king. We have added to our other sins the evil of asking for a king. And then down in verses 21 through 24, Samuel admonishes the people with words that the children of Israel had heard before, similar words, and they would hear again, because the children of Israel, as we know, went through times when they obeyed God and times when they didn't, and various prophets and leaders admonished the people many times. But Samuel was a man of God. He was a prophet. He was a judge. He was qualified then to speak to the people in the way that he did. And none of his words fell to the ground, it is said of Samuel, I think indicating to us that he had the words of God spoken through him. And the children of Israel listened to Samuel, but they didn't always obey, as the children of Israel did many times, we know. So then he says to the people, exhorting them, do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. If you turn aside, you will go after empty things, unprofitable, and nothing. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. I will continue to pray for you, and I will also teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. These exhortations were given to the Jews as God's chosen many hundreds of years ago. God had promised that they would be his special treasure. Now just think about that for a minute. That they would be God's special treasure if they would obey him and keep his covenant. Their forefathers, we know, they came out of the land of Egypt, and Moses spoke to them about keeping the commandments, and they said, we'll do it. We will obey all of the things that you ask us to do. But they fell short, as we know, many times. God punished them, sometimes pretty severely, as we know, down through the years. But God never gave up on his people completely. There was always opportunity for the children of Israel to repent, to return to obedience. And God sent, as we know, again, many prophets and men to speak to them about returning to God and what they needed to do. to exhort and to admonish the people to return to obeying God and His commands. I think these words spoken many, many years ago are instructive for us today. It has pleased God to make us, that's you and me, His people, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we will not be forsaken for His great name's sake. So, do not turn aside from serving Him to empty and unprofitable things, but serve Him with all of our hearts. Fear Him. Serve Him in truth with all of our being. Consider what great things God has done for us. Consider the great things that He has done for us and continues to do. What God asked of the children of Israel to keep His words and commands, He asks of us today, as His spiritual Israel, to obey His words, to keep His commandments. And we fall short as well many times today, we know. The exhortation for us also is not to turn aside from serving God, but to fear Him and serve Him in truth with all of our heart. And know that there's always opportunity to repent. God will never give up on His people. The love of God that sent His Son to die for the sins of the world did not end there. That was not the end of God's love. But it continues down through the years and will continue for all His people who love Him and obey Him, and for all that sometimes fall short and repent. We look at the New Testament then, and we have the book of Acts, which records for us the works of the apostles after the ascension of Jesus. And it records for us those things that the apostles did in establishing the church, in taking the gospel to the world and making converts, in establishing churches in many cities throughout the known world, and with many miracles confirmed the message that they were preaching. That was the record given to us in the book of Acts of the apostles. After the book of Acts concludes, there are recorded for us 21 additional books, 21 additional books and letters that were written by the apostles and other inspired writers to different churches, different individuals, all with exhortations, all with admonitions and commands given by the apostles and other inspired writings from God, but through the Holy Spirit, to instruct us to holy living, set apart as God's elect, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, urging us to continue to remain strong in His service until the end. So Samuel had the words of God spoken through him and led the people, the children of Israel, and admonished them. He was qualified to do this. So also the writers of the New Testament, the inspired writers by the Holy Spirit, are qualified to instruct us then in God's ways. They are our instructors today. The first converts we find in Acts 2 were together, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in prayer, and breaking of bread. And this example forms the basis for our example as well today. Continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, in fellowship and prayer and breaking of bread. To be steadfast in the apostles' teaching, not in men that are not inspired, and there are no men today that are inspired, by the Holy Spirit as they were. Not in my teaching. Not of any of your teaching. But we follow the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' teaching and the other apostles that were inspired. Many times when we think about steadfastness and lack of it, it is not a sudden and abrupt change, many times, but it is a little here, a little there, and eventually, a person is not steadfast in the way that they should in following the teaching of the apostles and the other inspired writers. We know from the writing of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that by the divine power of God in Christ, we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness by the knowledge of Him who has called us, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, and by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. If we are not steadfast in following Him, it will not be because we don't know. We do know. We have been given all information that pertains to our spiritual life and godliness. It is given to us in His Word. It is up to each one of us, then, to get to know and to understand the things that pertain to our spiritual life and godliness. Vine says godliness is a Godward attitude. And I think that says a lot. Not a worldward attitude. Not a sinful attitude, but a Godward attitude. The same Apostle Peter later on in that second letter, in chapter 3, verses 16 through and 17, he says, "Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be on guard. Be careful not to fall away from your own steadfastness." So, can this happen? Does this happen? Absolutely it does. Be careful, Peter says, that we not fall away from all of the things that pertain to our life and godliness. All of the things that have been given to us. But grow, Peter says, Vine says this means to increase. So grow, increase in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Ever growing, always increasing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Revealed to us, remember, in the Scriptures, the inspired writers. And this knowledge is not just in facts that we might cram into our heads. It is not even just an understanding of these facts. But it is also putting into practice those things. The knowledge that we get of Jesus Christ, obeying, practicing, and following. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, down toward the end of the chapter, we call that Paul had written to the church in Corinth about the second coming and the things that were going to happen. The Lord is coming. Reminds them near the end of the chapter, we will be changed from our corruptible bodies into an incorruptible body. We will be victorious over death. And then he says in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's so much packed in this short verse. He says, therefore, which we know means to look back at what he's just been talking about, in view of the time that Jesus will come again, be steadfast, be immovable, rock solid. Thayer says to be firmly persistent, firmly persistent, firm in our faith, persistent in practicing it, always abounding in the work of the Lord, to be rich in the work of the Lord, to be abundantly working, because he says our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In all of the ways that we abound in the work of the Lord, it is not without result. If we do, it is not empty. It is not of, let me rephrase that, I have a noble negative there, and of no use. The work of the Lord that benefits ourselves, that benefits others, that brings glory to God, God takes note of it. God will remember, and there will be a reward if we do. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul's fight and our fight is the same. It is against the powers, the rulers of darkness, and the spiritual darkness, which we know all comes from Satan. I have finished the race, Paul says, laying aside all of the things that weigh us down, sin that distracts us from the race. Let us run with patience. And it is a race that we need patience. I have kept the faith, Paul says, unwavering. And we know from the life of Paul that he was unwavering in his faith in God and Lord Jesus Christ from the time of his conversion until the end. He had kept the faith, not flinching from anything that might come his way that would distract him from serving God, that would cause him to lose faith, suffering many persecutions, many trials, without faltering, never losing his faith. Finally, Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give to me and to all them that love his appearing. Paul knew that all of the things that he did, abounding in the work of the Lord, would finally bring him the crown of righteousness, and to any and all who love his appearing, all who love his coming, his gospel, his salvation, and his coming in glory one day. Now, taking all of these things that we've said so far, I think we can see that there is a connection in the Scriptures between growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, remaining steadfast, and abounding in the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul makes the connection for us, I think, over in the book of Ephesians, in writing to the church at Ephesus, in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. There he lists the gifts that were given to the church by Christ, and we know what those were: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. They were given for the equipping of the saints, again, that's you and me, for the work of ministry, or the work of serving, for the edifying of the body, the building it up, to unify us in the faith, to a knowledge of the Son of God, to bring us to a knowledge of the Son of God, to make us mature and complete. We are no longer then children to be tossed about by other doctrines of men, uninspired men, but steadfast in our faith, our work of serving, our knowledge of the Son of God, and in the doctrine of Christ. This is the thing that these gifts were given so that the church might be brought along in all of those ways. And then in verses 14 through 16, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." With the truth as our only guide. And that is so foundational for us. With the truth as our only guide, Paul says, we may grow up in all things in Christ. That's what we need to do. And it is something that the whole body participates in. The whole body knit together by which every part does its share. Each part does its share. Working, which causes growth of the body. Everyone, for the purpose of edifying of the body in love. The whole body, the church, again, you and me, are in this together. We're all in this together as part of the body. Working, growing up, doing our share, edifying ourselves, which causes growth in all. Again, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Our conduct, which is our way of life, the way we live our lives worthy of the gospel, worthy of Jesus Christ coming to die for our sins. Paul says that I may hear of your affairs. The affairs here means the things pertaining to your life and conduct. Paul wants to hear of your affairs. That you are standing fast in one spirit, unified with one mind, striving together, working together for the faith of the gospel. This is very much an individual thing, but it is also very much a body thing. When each person is doing the things that they should be doing individually, then the body will be growing and doing the things that the body should do. Each individual doing their part, doing their share for the growth of the body. The Apostle Paul also in Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Paul rejoiced to hear of their good order, holding to the pattern and the conduct that they had received from the Apostle Paul. And also, he says, rejoice in hearing of the steadfastness of their faith, true and solid in their beliefs and in their practices. So, Paul says, as you have received Christ as Lord, so walk in him. Live your lives that way, rooted with strong roots, a strong foundation, and growing. rooted good, with good roots, and growing, built up in Christ, and your faith established and secure. As you have been taught by me, abound in all of these things with thanksgiving. In all of these things with thanksgiving. There are many other scriptures that we could turn to on this line of thinking, but the thing that we need to, as part of the body of Christ, is to realize that we all have a responsibility to do the things that will help the body to grow, that we remain steadfast, that we remain true, that we're all working the way that we should. As we conclude today, we'll look again at what Samuel said over to the children of Israel. Do not turn aside from serving the Lord, but serve Him with all of your heart. Do not turn aside to empty and unprofitable things, for the Lord will not forsake His people. I will pray for you and teach you the things what is good and right, to serve Him in truth, and we've talked about that, considering what great things He has done for you. Great word for us today as well. Before we conclude, we'll give you an opportunity if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment on what we've said so far today.
I really appreciate what you said. I think sometimes I'm guilty of trying to say something interesting or I don't know, but the layout of the word is, it's not complicated. It's sometimes maybe complicated, but this is what Jesus wanted for the church. This is what Jesus wanted those men inspired, like you said, to give us so we know how to live. We know how to worship. We know how to... One of the questions my grandson asked last Sunday night around the campfire, we were talking about the second coming. And he talked with Cindy. You know, how do I be ready? Well, that question is answered. It was answered by Peter. And that's what we told him. You need to repent, which means I'm going to change from my ways and I'm going to make your ways my ways. And it's a godly sorrow for the things you've done wrong. And it's a willingness to start doing things God's way. And then you have to be immersed in water. And so he was ready. We set a time to do that the next morning. But then he asked, I'm young, and I'm going to commit sin after this day. And what do I do then? And it, I... He said, you know, now you have an advocate. You're connected to God, to Jesus. He is your mediator. And if you're faithful to ask forgiveness, He will forgive you. And you're brand new. And just like you said, and then just be steadfast. Just grow. Just keep walking. When you fall, get up and keep striving. And it's put together so nicely in the New Testament. And you put it together very well from beginning to end.
Yeah, we've been given everything, and it's up to us to speak the truth. Speak the truth. And we have the truth. We just need to speak it and follow it It'll guide us in the right directions. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. As we conclude today, we will offer the gospel invitation, the invitation that is always open to any and every person. The love of God that sent His Son, that love still continues today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we'll give you an opportunity today, if you're a subject today of the invitation, that you would like to acknowledge Him as your Son of God and be immersed for the remission of your sins. Or if there's anything else that you would bring before the body at this time as we sing the final song.